Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Allah. أنزل علينا كتاب مبين الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليشهد الناس سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وجمعة مبارك ورمضان مبارك الحمد لله سليم if it's better for you to take a chair, you can still take a chair. You good? You gonna soldier it out? MashaAllah. And my bad. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْقَوَائِدَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَائِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ رَبَّنَا تَقْبَلْ مِنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ صَدَقَ الْعَظِيمُ. In this Surah Al-Baqarah 127, and mentioned when Abraham was raising the foundation of the house, with him was Ismail, saying, Our Lord, accept this from us. Indeed, you are the hearing, the knowing. A report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Prophet said, My similitude in comparison with other prophets before me is that of a man who built the house nicely and beautifully, except for a place for one brick in a corner. The people go about it and wonder at its beauty, but say, would that this brick be put in its place. So I am that brick. I am the last of the prophets. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our subject today is the significance of Eid al-Fitr. The significance of Eid al-Fitr. There's another verse, an ayah from the Quran that I'd like to bring in. I'm only going to read the expression of it. It's from the 14th chapter, Surah Ibrahim, 37 ayah. It says, Our Lord, I have made some of my offspring to dwell in an uncultivated valley by your sacred house in order that they may perform salat. So fill some hearts among men, and O Allah, provide them with fruits so that they may give thanks. So this verse is a verse that's speaking of when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he left Hajar and Ismail, a very small baby, he left a leather pouch with some water or dates or just very small provision for them. You may remember the story where when the prophet was following God's inspiration to leave Hajar with the new child out there in that desolate place, he turned away and left him there, and she was calling Abraham, Abraham, where are you going? He didn't say anything. And he kept walking. He said, Abraham, where are you going? He kept walking, no response. Then he responded, then she asked, is this what Allah has ordered for you to do? And he said, yes. And so she said, well, then go. We'll be fine. And then the rest of the story where we get the sa'i going from the Safar and Marwa for as far as the Hajj, that is a reenactment of Hajar running back and forth between the two hills looking for some body or some means to support her child. And the end of the story is that where she found an angel's scraping the wing on the ground at the heel of Ismail, and then that's where the Zamzam water came from and still flows today. And let me say this, it's like, I mean, how many millions and billions, billions, since millions come every year, you know, and I don't know how long it's been since the million number was broke for Hajj. For the first time, 1 million people have come for Hajj. I don't know when that was. But Hajj has been going on for 1,400 years, at least 1,400 years. And everybody goes and everybody drinks from Zamzam, right? So it's like if it was a fake, phony, false, you know, where they bring in trucks and fill it up on a mountain somewhere, and then the water flows down, and that's what's coming out of the Zamzam. Now, you know somebody would have pulled the coat on that 100 years ago. Oh, this holy water, Zamzam. They go, look, here it is right here. It's coming. You got to do turn the faucet. Yeah, let the water come out. Allow me a little humor. It's all right, y'all. So that is a miracle in and of itself, in that this water continues to flow ceaselessly. And the report of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Hajar, when the water kept coming out, Hajar had to build a border around the flowing water, right? We watched the movie last night, as we traditionally do, for the message. And so at the wells of Bedr, right, at the wells of Bedr, there was this little pool of water, which were the wells, and that they were drinking from, right? A boundary had been put around it so that the water stays within a particular boundary. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what Hajar had to do. She had to put a border around the flow of water from the time that it sprouted. And the prophet said, had she not put the borders around the Zemzem there, it would have continued and flooded the entire world, flood the entire world. I'm saying that's how much water has been flowing from Zamzam and continues to flow. So, I mean, just that alone should be something that says, okay, well, explain to me. Where else is something like that that's going on? That's Allah's design. The emphasis, however, that we want to put to it is that this was a time when Ismail was a babe in arms with Hajar. When this dua, when the prophet is making Ibrahim, when he's making this dua, Hajar, there's nothing around, uncultivated land. But Ibrahim says, in an uncultivated valley by your sacred house. This is Allah revealed. This is not, you know, again, we found a book from Abraham, and Abraham said, this is what I said. No, this is Allah saying, this is what Abraham declared. So the sacred house must have been there. And in fact, the Quraysh, the supremacy of the Quraysh, I'll use that language, as the signal leading tribe among the Arabs and the tribe from which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, the Quraysh, had to do with the grandfather, the Prophet's grandfather, or likely his great grandfather. Allahu alam. I'm not the best historian, but I do know that it was discovered in his line. They rediscovered the Zamzam. It had been lost. They rediscovered the Zamzam. And in that rediscovery, they became the custodians of the Zamzam. The water in the desert, that's the deal. That's the big deal. So, and we have the best source of water, and we are the ones who are, quote-unquote, controlling it, right? So that was also a source of the excellence and the dignity and the honor and the high status of the Quraysh, the rediscovery of the Zamzam again. And where's the Zamzam? Right there at the Kaaba. But I still want to bring back to your attention, well, what was the prophet Ibrahim, what was he seeing when he said the desolate valley, uncultivated, by your sacred house? What was the structure? And now, obviously, there was something, but then the verse that we opened with says, as when Abraham and Ismail raised the foundation, that verse, the 2:127, now Ismail has attained the age of work with his father, and so it said, okay, well, let's build up the house. So there was a foundation that was already laid before Ismail was born, and before he became mature to work with his father. But then Abraham says, now it's time. So they raised the foundation of the house. Who put the foundation there? That's what I'm getting to. Who put the foundation there? Adam. The traditions say that, you know, listen, mashallah, with these metaphorical pictures, Imam Rahimahullah Alayhi, he's my teacher, where he says the scripture uses figurative speech and figurative expressions to speak to things that are scientific, actual, and very real. So there are many things that narratively, Allah wouldn't say them to us narratively because you can't get your head around that. Your mind is not big enough for that, for the details. You know, it's like if somebody tried to give you the chemical composition of a bean pie. See my bean pie man right there, right? It's like, I mean, you know, H plus 2O plus C plus 2O dash square root of 3 times. Yes, hey, just tell me about the beans and the other ingredients, right? Okay, so in the same way Allah communicates to us, human beings, and in scripture in abstracts, so that the abstracts are giving you the truth but without the details. Okay? So then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he told Adam, his wife, and the shaitan, what he said, get ye down from here. On earth will be your dwelling place for a time. Now, you can have in your mind, you know, the Steven Spielberg idea of, you know, a Superman and an egg being sent down from planet Krypton, and then they landed there. I don't think that's the way you should see it, okay? But it's an abstract expression of the fact that you're coming from a higher place to a lower place. And then where Allah says in that section, where it says, on earth will be your dwelling place and your place of livelihood for a time. All right? So your cultivation is supposed to happen on the earth. And Allah said, إِنِّي جَعِلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. So there are many things to be connected here. To say that there's a life, and he said, "Inna Allah anbatakum min al-ardi nabat." Another way, Allah said, "I created you growing from the earth gradually like a plant." Now there's an abstract, comprehensible way of seeing that, but now when you try to go into, or when you go into it with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand, okay, well, what does that mean in quote unquote real terms, meaning that in rational terms? And even, in fact, in scientific terms, we would have to spend a lot of time dealing with human beings and their social evolution and the like. I gotta say this to you because I have to share with you what's on my mind that provides the foundation for this way of reasoning. Where the Imam Rahimahullah, he made the statement, it says that human beings were on the earth a long time before Adam was on the earth. Human beings were on the earth a long time before Adam was on the earth. Okay, so what does that say? There's a difference between human beings and Adam. Well, who is Adam? Adam, in real terms, I'm talking about the truth, the details of it. Adam is a human being who evolves to the state where they acknowledge that there is God, and I have a duty to God, and everything I am experiencing as benefit is from God, and it is him that I should worship. Whenever human beings in all of the billions of years of history, when they finally arrive at the point where there is God, and I have to worship God, except when that was realized in that first conscience, some human being somewhere, and it's apparent that Mecca is that, well, what we call Mecca now, where the Kaaba is that place. And so that Adam is the one that comes a long time after human beings have been. It's an evolution. Adam himself is an evolution in humanity, not the end of it, the beginning of it. The biological, anthropological evolution took place. Man's cognitive capacity grew, evolved, and it realized a state where, aha, what's that up there? And where did that come from? Where did I come from? That mind reached the point where it starts asking those kinds of questions. Now we're talking, and gets the answer that says it is God. Now we're talking about, that's Adam. And it's that Adam that built the first house for the worship of Allah, right? And this is what the Quran tells us. It says the first house built for the worship of Allah was the one at, translation that we read, and the language must say, Becca, but that's Mecca, right? And it's not the one that Abraham built. It's the foundation that Abraham built it up from, the Kaaba that we are familiar with now. It was built up from a foundation that was laid by Adam, the first, quote-unquote, man to realize this role and relationship and this obligation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right, so in the Isra wa Mi'raj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has Adam at the beginning, has Abraham at the end. Adam is the first, and then there are six levels from him going up to Abraham, the final, the seventh. And both of them, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, being led by Jibreel on this Isra wa Mi'raj, that is the night journey and elevation. Each time he came to a gate, each time he came to a door, there were angels, keepers of the gates, and they would ask, "Who are you? And who's with you?" And when it was said of the Prophet, "Has he been sent for?" It's like you talk about velvet rope, you know. It's like, yeah, we get it. I know you, Jibreel. I know you. And I know you don't come through unless you're doing God's business, but I got a job to do. Okay? So, has he been sent for? Don't come up in here if he don't have no orders from God, right? And so, then he said, yes, he's been sent for. It's Jibreel, and I'm with Muhammad. Has he been sent for? Yes. He said, enter among the believers. So, after or at that first door, the Prophet met Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. When I say met Adam, he saw Adam. And there are many stories that go around what the Prophet saw there with him. I only want to bring one matter to your attention, where the hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, says, none of you will enter paradise except on the order of Adam. You got to hold on to that sentence right there because it's just there's so much in it. None of you will enter paradise except on the order of Adam. One of it relates to, I'm saying, like, if Adam is at the first door, then Adam is the one that's inviting you in, the first Adam. But then Adam is a structure that has to be achieved before you can begin the journey to your destiny. Adam is a state or a condition that has to be achieved before you can begin your journey to your created destiny. The Quran, where Allah says that وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَاءُ لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ, speaking to the angels, after saying, I am making in the earth a khalifa, and then the rest of the story, what is it that you create something that will cause mischief and bloodshed, blah, blah. And then God said, nevertheless, I know what you know not. But when I have breathed into him of my spirit, then you bow down. So Adam's mission did not start until after he received that breath, that spirit from Allah. Now it starts, but not before that inspiration, right? So Allah tells us, or rather the Prophet, peace be upon him, the report subscribed to the Prophet, tells us that Allah took the clay, put it in form. This is not Georgia clay. This is not earth clay. This is whatever it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put him in the form and left him there for 40 periods, right? For 40 periods. 40 is a symbol of maturity, completeness of a form. So Allah put him into that first form, and then it went on for 40 periods. And the Quran says this is outside of Adam, when I say outside of Adam, but it relates, of course, to Adam, that man attains maturity at 40. And when the Prophet says, and I have lived a lifetime amongst you, this is after he received the revelation. He's trying to get people, hey, man, why y'all jamming me up? I've lived a lifetime from it. Y'all know me? But at which point did that happen? When he was 40 years old. So when he was 40 years old, that's when he received the inspiration. So it shouldn't be hard for us to see Prophet Muhammad as Adam also. خلقكم من نفس واحدة. That Allah said He created all of you من نفس, from a single soul. Where did we come from? Where did Al-Islam and the billions of Muslims in the world, where did it come from? Started with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خلق منها زوجها, and then from him, its mate, was his mate, the companions and the believers in the first community. وَبَثَ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالٍ كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And from the followership of the companions and the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that first story, just like we listened, watched the movie The Message last night, the Prophet was one, and then the others joined with him, and by their interaction, the multiplying up to the, 1.5 billion Muslims in the world right now, it started from that nafsun wahida, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Muhammad is another sign of Adam as well. So in terms of this 40 periods, and then when I have breathed into him of my spirit, so the 40 periods and received that, and so I'm trying to get to the point of this is the beginning, because here's what happened in the meantime while Adam was in that state of arriving at the 40, that first stage of maturity, he was there, and the angels were kind of, what we got here? Then Iblis, who was in charge in the domain, he was not an angel. Quran says it clearly. Iblis was a jinn. So don't get it twisted. It's like, yeah, Iblis was a fallen angel. No. Iblis was a jinn. But he was in charge. All right? That's part of what ticked him off. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I've been running this thing for a billion years, and you're going to make this dude right here? Like, what is this right here? And you ever work for somebody and you become their supervisor? Oh, man. I thought we was bros, man. I thought we was people. Nah, man, you a boss now. So, okay, move on. So the issue here then is, so the angels, they're looking at this thing that's arriving at the 40. They're looking at it, and they're backing up. Iblis said, what's that? Yeah. So Iblis go and he kicks it. And it moans or groans and makes some kind of sound. Right? And then the report says, Iblis went inside the mouth and came out the other end. And he said he saw that he was empty. And then he knew, according to the report, he knew in his own mind, said, oh, I can run this because there ain't nothing in it. He's empty, right? But, you know, like B.B. King said, he made his move too soon. You know, it's like, if you make your move too soon, you make a judgment on the basis of him before receiving the Spirit, well, you're going to make a miscalculation. Because when I breathe in Allah, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, he's going to have something from me that neither you or the angels have. You're not going to be able to deal with it. You're going to do what you're going to do, et cetera. But another thing you don't understand, you and the angels, what you don't understand is in my plan, every knock is a boost. You do something to attack my plan, you only make my plan grow. To attack my man, you only make my man grow. So listen, this is a story of us, right? It said, it may be that you like a thing or dislike a thing through which Allah brings about a great deal of good. So if after Shaitan, just real quick, if Shaitan said, "This I'm going to do this, that, this, and that," God said, oh, no, you ain't. I'm just using an urban illustration. God don't pack a 44, man. It's just... Is the idea that if I didn't want you to do what you talk about you doing, then I would have took you out right there. And the Imam explains, rahimahullah alayhi, he said, if there was no sin, there would be no free will. What do you need free will for if there's nothing to tempt you away from a quote-unquote right way of doing things? So Shaitan has his role. Okay. So I'm trying to get to the issue of the first of this first consciousness of Adam, right? So when Allah breathes his spirit into Adam, now he becomes a living soul, etc., and that's when the whole garden scenario, all that happens, because this is when Adam basically was, well, not basically, actually was like brand new. And remember, it is metaphorical with regard to what we always face. Every human being faces this scenario, and especially, you want to know when it mainly happens, in fact, it couldn't start actually before that, it's at puberty. It's at puberty. Because it is at that point that each one of us becomes responsible for our choices. And that's when the temptation, first of which is the biological temptation, that's obviously the first one. But all of our appetites tempt us, right? Stealing something, doing some temptations to acquire things that we want in illegal ways. That I don't care. It can be sneaking in a cookie jar when you know mama said you can't have no cookies there after you have dinner. But you go sneaking in the cookie jar before dinner, skulking, getting cookies, right? Well, see, that was the shaitan tempting you with regard to an obligation that you were supposed to restrain yourself from. Okay, same story in the garden. So it's a repeated story, a story that repeats. Now, Adam being the first form, there's an understanding for us to see this Adam. Adam is called father in the Isra wa Mi'raj, and Abraham is called father. Each one of them represents some kind of beginning. You know, the father of the country or something like that. Founding fathers, you have that kind of language, right? So the fathers are the ones that generate. Adam was a father, he generates. Abraham was a father, he generates. Question is, what? What is it that they generate? You read this statement from Imam Muhammad, Rahim al-Alayh. This is from his book, Education, a Sacred Matter, from page 79. He says, one father, Adam, followed the nature. Remember, this conversation is about the significance of Eid al-Fitr. That's the main point. Eid al-Fitr. What is the significance of it? Our one father, Adam, followed the nature, the other father, Abraham, followed the direction in the intelligence. One father, Adam, fathered the direction in the nature, that's Adam, and the other father, Abraham, fathered the direction in the intelligence. This is really, really, really important, brother and sister, for your living al-Islam, for your living al-Islam. Because Allah has given us Deen al-Fitr. That's what our way of life is called. Deen al-Fitr. Our way of life is labeled with Fitr. Deen al-Fitr. So our whole religion is about Fitr. And that statement in Surah 30, Ayah 30, you hear it all the time. Don't let it become a cliche. The reason that it's easy upon our consciousness is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy on our consciousness, because if you get this, God is saying, if you get this, you got the essence of the whole package. Telling you, let me go ahead and talk about it and stop editorializing. Maybe we can get to it. Surah 30, Ayah 30. Three is important. Why? Because you are a mortal body, you are a rational body, you are a spiritual body. All of us. So we are three. We are three. So tempted. Let's see if I can hit it real quick. Baseball. Baseball, you play it on what kind of field? What do you call the field that you play baseball on? I know this is not a seminar, but a diamond. Okay, you got that. A diamond, right? It's a diamond, okay? And you can look at the way that, this is the 75th year NBA, right? So you see that. So it's a diamond anniversary. Look at an outline. Look at an outline of that diamond that's there, and minus the kind of flat cap on the top of it, it's really like a baseball diamond. The bottom of it, catcher's point. The right first base. You can go to the top, even though it's flattened out on the diamond image that I'm telling you about. Second base, third base. So that's four bases right there, just like the pyramid has a base of four, right? So you turn that in a certain way, you get the same thing. But it doesn't stop there. So I said three, so you understand three. How many innings in baseball? Nine. Three times three, that's fullness of nine, right? All right? So what's a strikeout? Three strikes, you're out, right? So three, what is 10? Because I was talking about 30-30, right? What is 10? 10 is the number of science. That's the number for science. So 3 times 10 is 30. So that's the science of your human nature. 30-30, that means understanding on both planes, understanding it physically and understanding it metaphysically. 30-30. And that's, so in the Quran, it's understanding it from your biology and understanding it from you as microcosm to it as macrocosm. 30-30. That is only a reflection of you. That is what is being said in that verse, Surah 30, Ayah 30. Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nasa alayha. It is the original nature. It's the nature of origin. It's the original pattern that I made you upon. If I was a preacher, I would say, help me, Lord. But since I'm not a preacher, I won't say that. That in terms of that spirit that's in us, this fitr and that fitr is the same. That in this world, this material, fitratullahi lati fatara an-nas alayha, macrocosm, microcosm, and in terms of God says in that verse, ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ قَيِّمًا وَلَكِّنَ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That is your religion. When it says, actually, the command before, it says, لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. Don't change the original form that you have been made in. I made you in a form. I made you perfect. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. You're in an excellent form. Don't change it. But what you have to do, you have to cause that to grow. Okay? And so as far as that original nature is concerned, the goal is to make the connection between your original nature and the nature of creation. When you make the connection, now you are Adam. Now you are, until you make that connection, you are not at the beginning of that stage. When we talk about that pattern, then have you ever heard anybody speak of paternity suit? We're talking about sports, right? A paternity suit. Pattern. Pattern. What is the pattern? To determine who's what? Who's the father? To determine who's the father. But father, actually, when you get to where I'm talking, when you understand this kind of, whatever, analogy making, let's say, father is also the same thing. That is to start with a pattern. You start with a pattern. So Adam is the first pattern. Abraham is the second pattern. Adam is a pattern, as the Imam pointed out here, that Adam is a pattern that is grounded in nature. Fifth. Abraham is a pattern that is grounded in the developed intellect. So in the story of Abraham, as we conclude this portion of the khutbah, 675 through 80, you have Abraham going through three levels of light. He saw the star, he saw the moon, he saw the sun. Then he had to get past that in order to arrive at the reality, back to baseball. Where do you stand? You stand at the plate. You hit the ball. If you get a hit, where you go to? First base. If you hit a double, you get first and second. You hit a triple, you get to third base. But you have to hit a home run in order to go all the way around. So you don't get home until you get past three bases. You got to get past the first base, the physiological challenges, the second base, the rational challenges, third base, the spiritual challenges. And if you get through all those challenges, then you'll come home. But first you got to stand up there and hit the ball. And there's a pitcher. I know I'm taking too much time. And there's a pitcher. Where do the pitcher stand? He stands on the mound. And what is pitch? Pitch is pitch black. Pitch is darkness. And that's what the pitcher is throwing at you. And what is he throwing at you? A ball. How do you spell it? B-A-A-L. Is that how you think we play it? It's fun, but it's serious. So the pitcher, and what's the pitcher doing? Looking for a sign, right? From somebody that the batter can't see. Right? Batter, he's up here, and the pitcher's talking to him, but he can't. Hey, what you talking about? What you saying? Right? Because you're not paying attention. So you have to watch the ball. Right? And so the pitcher is always trying to go slider, inside, outside, et cetera. But the real key that I need to get to and move on is, where's the strike zone? Strike zone's all in here. So a falsehood that strikes you in the area of your passion, your desire. And so what are you going to hit it with? Now, cricket, they have a different kind of bat, as we call it, right? I don't even know if they call it a bat. I don't know what they call it. But ours is called a bat. Allahu Akbar, mashallah. Because I just thought about the bat. You see in the dark, right? A bat, you can see in the dark. It's like, okay, go and throw your dark pitch. I got light on your darkness, right? But the key thing is, it's a straight stick, but it's round. So get a round thing trying to hit another round thing. What are you talking about? Spiritual logic. I'm moving fast, believe me. Spiritual logic. When you have spiritual logic and somebody throws some falsehood at you, oh, man, get that stuff out of here. Truth comes and falsehood and hits falsehood in the head and knocks out his brain. Ball, for those of you who don't know, ball means falsehood, B-A-A-L, falsehood, right? And if they can succeed at getting their falsehood past your spiritual logic, they're going to strike you out. You got to go back to the dugout. So you have to have that capacity for it. So you have, again, the nine innings, right? So it's nuts. So all that goes with, Fahim, is that Abraham going past star, moon, sun, is going past first base, second base, third base, home, in that analogy. The significant thing is to understand that Adam is a beginning and Abraham is a beginning, but Adam's beginning is in fitr. Abraham's beginning is in intellect, because he had to traverse the wisdom identified in the symbol star, moon, sun. It actually embraces the totality of knowledge of man in history. Wallahi, if we had more time, we'd be detailed. But it encompasses the entire breadth of knowledge of man. And Abraham transcended that knowledge. And when he transcended that knowledge, that's when he came to Tawheed. So now he knows all of the science represented in the star, moon, sun. And he knows what is behind it, what is beyond it. But that was an intellectual journey. That movement from star, moon, sun was a journey through light and enlightenment. And Abraham was the father of that movement. But it's an intellectual movement. Adam is a movement, but it's a movement of nature to arrive at the state where we have an Abrahamic consciousness. Such that now I'm ready. I got my Adam foundation is laid. My senses are clear. My devotion to God is pure. I have repented my errors. So now I have the foundation. Okay, now start your movement up from that foundation. And then when you arrive at the station of Abraham, when you arrive at the station of Abraham, there's another journey for you to travel. You have seven more to go. The first seven is your nature being fully expressed to realize its potential. That's that 40 years or that 40 periods that Adam was put in. Now you're ready for inspiration. But even with your first inspiration, that's not the last inspiration. You're just getting started. But you have to get to the Abrahamic state to be able to be receptive to how Allah would communicate with you. And it says Allah took Abraham as a friend. Powerful. Eid al-Fitr is only, when I say only, Eid al-Fitr is speaking about if you did this right, if you came through this month right, how many days in a month? 29 or 30, but 30. If you did that right, now you're ready for the next seven. And that's what you'll discover at Eid al-Adha. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب آمين اللهم آمين اللهم أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So I hope I've been able to make somewhat clear to you that Eid al-Fitr is a celebration, Eid, Eid al-Fitr. It's a celebration of Fitr. It's a celebration of our original nature. That's what it is. Our fasting in the month of Ramadan is a ritual that's designed to do for us what we are supposed to do all of our life, every day. At the end of these 29 or 30 days, whatever the case may be, at the end of these days, the whole month has been telling you, you know what? What you're doing here, not necessarily abstaining, meaning that every day you should abstain the way you abstain in Ramadan. No, it's not saying that. But every day you should be focused on disciplining your urges and impulses, disciplining your appetites, disciplining your passions, disciplining your desires. That is taqwa. Ramadan is a month that's just fully devoted to that in a formal sense. It's like those of you who, you know, really do maintenance on your automobiles and the like. It's like, you know, it's time for that 30,000-mile checkup, whatever the case may be. It's like, okay, when Ramadan comes around, it's like that. Time for that 30,000-mile checkup, time for that oil change, time for whatever you're going to do, your 12-point check system. And when you come through Ramadan right, it's just like you took your car to the shop, and you've been keeping the regular maintenance schedule. You took it there, it's good, and you took it there the last time. When you drive out with that car, I'm good till the next checkup, right? Because I took it to the real folks. I didn't take it to Pookie. I took it to the real folks. And no disrespect for Pookie, but. So now I'm good. What do you have to think about with regard to your maintenance? You really stop thinking about it because you got that, right? With us, Ramadan is That is what it does for us. I mean, how much more solid in your deen do you feel when Ramadan is done and you did your piece and you can look at it and say, yeah, alhamdulillah, inshallah, I handle that. So it's like, good. So now you're going out, you're going with chest out in the best way, standing up straight, ready to face whatever there is to face in life after Ramadan, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. But the Ramadan as a ritual is also, don't lose the meaning, Ramadan as a ritual is saying you have to always manage your passions, your desires, your appetites, your anger, all of that. The same thing, you have to do that every day, all the time. Keep doing that. And so when we accomplish that, when we complete that month, which is a symbol of that behavior, we celebrate it. We celebrate it. That's the victory. That's a victory. Floyd Patterson had a publication where the book said, Victory Over Myself. Some of y'all know, you know who Floyd Patterson is. He all right. That victory is what we celebrate on Eid al-Fitr. And here's a critical thing for us to understand. When you understand that ritual, Adam, the foundation, Abraham and his son, they raised the foundation. Abraham is the uppermost. Abraham is the top. So you have from Adam to Abraham. And in the Isra wa Mi'raj, the seven levels, Adam, Jesus, John the Baptist, Yusuf, Idris, Aaron, Moses, Abraham. That's the night journey of the prophet. Seven levels, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How long is the distance between Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha? How many days? 70 days. 10 is science. 7 is spiritual perfection. Those 70 days represent you got started on Eid al-Fitr. Celebrate that. And when you finish celebrating, keep doing, Quran literally says things like this, keep doing what you're doing because you still have another destiny to reach, and that's Abraham. You're trying to get to the station of Abraham. But you're not going to get to the station of Abraham until you understand the spiritual science of your own nature. Until you understand the spiritual science of your own nature, you're just going through the motions. Wallahi, you got to understand that. And it's good to do those things, but it's better to know why and what you are doing, for what reason, for what outcome, for what objective. How does it fit into the scheme and the will and the plan of God for your humanity? So God wants us to evolve, and he gave us his perfect favor in Al-Islam. He wants us to evolve to the formation of our original nature, launching from that, maturing in that, and then following that to the realization of our Abrahamic nature, which equips us to be able to look at the macrocosm and draw out of it wisdom and knowledge that's sitting there only for those who have that development. And if all you see in fasting is don't eat, don't drink, no conjugal relations, okay, I did that, okay. No, that's a big place that we're supposed to be trying to get to. So the celebration of Eid al-Fitr is the celebration of the victory of the individual in the ways that I've been trying to describe. The celebration of Eid al-Adha, Quran says, Inna Ibrahim kana umma. Qanitan lillah wa lam yakun min al-mushrikeen. It says Abraham was an ummah. So the Eid al-Adha is celebrated in the larger group, particularly Hajj. And the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the furud, the fard of Hajj, is Arafah. What is Arafah? It's knowledge, enlightenment. If you don't get the enlightenment that Hajj is representing and that Abraham represents, then you haven't even made Hajj yet. And the Hajj is from Adam to Abraham. That's the Hajj, the struggle to get to the station of Abraham in accordance with the will of Allah. So that you, your name, so that you can become a mind, a spirit that reaches into the universe and abstracts the knowledge that Allah has put there for and out of yourself. And you and I, we can earn the submission of angels. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, I created. He says, do not you see, Allah, do not you see that sakhara lakum ma fis samawati wa fil ard? God is saying, don't you see that I made everything in the sky and in the earth for your benefit, to serve you? But it's not going to serve you until you deal with, like that angel at the gate, that has he been sent for. Is that as those that try to steal a hearing, in the past they could do it. But now when they go up there, they find rockets. They find stuff blasting them out of there. You can't cheat on the wisdom nowadays. You can't cheat on the insight. You can't cheat on the wisdom. You have to qualify. And then when you qualify, you get the submission of angels. But that's only when you arrive at the station of Abraham. And you can't get the station of Abraham until you lay the foundation. And then Abraham and his son raise the foundation. All that's you and I. All that's us person. That must be that call telling me it's time to go. So, but may Allah guide us, have mercy on us, and lead us to the best. له لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذ سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسيع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب Allah, we thank you for your graces, your presence, your power, your protection. Oh Allah, accept our fast. Oh Allah, accept our sacrifices. Oh Allah, accept our intentions, accept our sincerity, purify us, oh Allah, make us true to the nature that you created us in and for. Oh Allah, bless us to realize the disciplines to achieve the destiny of the great nature that you have blessed us with. Oh Allah, bless us to establish our Adam and to realize our Abraham. Oh Allah, we ask your guidance in all things. Oh Allah, what we don't understand, we could only come into understanding by your grace and by your mercy and by your granting and by your giving. Oh Allah, please help us to be worthy of what you have revealed to us through your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, give us the heart, the mind, and the spirit to be able to look into the creation of us and to the creation of the universe, that we can gain from it what you have given to us as an inheritance. Oh Allah, bless us to be true to our benefits, to gain the benefits that you have made possible for us by exerting ourselves in truth and in sincerity. We beg this of you only for none can grant or withhold his virtue. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa alaykum as-salam. Allahu Akbar. Make our road straight and even, leave no space between the shaitan and dividers. Our roads are straight, our hearts may be. الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غفاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر ما يخفى وأنه يسرك ليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى فيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأزكى إن هذا لفي صحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي الدين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم Alhamdulillah, before we get very quickly separated, we're coming to the Rajan Abdul Malik, we're trying to get through. Of course, these are the last nights of Ramadan. And Alhamdulillah, we have iftar continuing on through. This is like coming to the tape with the chest dug out. So I think we're 28, 29, 30. We're looking at, you know, either likely Monday, but Sunday or Monday for Eid al-Fitr. Mention the word theme. Our tradition is to follow exactly what I'm telling you. It's a victory of the individual. So we celebrate our Eid al-Fitr separately
from other communities. So if you identify as Nashid Waratheen, we're always going to have Eid al-Fitr because it's the victory of the individual. Eid al-Adha is the celebration of the community victory. So Nashid Waratheen always joins whoever, wherever they are, where the Eid al-Adha is sponsored by the larger group. So just so that you understand it, it's not about ego. It's not about anything other than that. It's just about Adam. It's about just the celebration of Adam, Eid al-Fitr. The celebration of Abraham, which is an ummah, that's on Eid al-Adha. So we do that. So that's that. Now, for as far as the iftar, come on in strong. I think, where is Yusuf? I lost Yusuf. I know Yusuf, the youth, well, youth, young adults, their iftar is tomorrow. We have the Salahuddin family and et al., you know, others also tonight. This, again, don't just treat things as ritual. The practice of al-Islam, the invitations of al-Islam, they're to strengthen what we're supposed to be building. We're supposed to be building ummah. You build ummah by making connections with other people. So if you only, I come to iftar because I know these people, I don't know those people. Well, come get to know people that you don't know so we can make the network of community stronger and you get the blessings and rewards that go with it. It's not just the ones who are providing the iftar that get the blessing. It's the one that are taking the iftar that also get the blessing. So just see it also as a very important networking opportunity. And especially we need, like, you look around right now, can you name everybody's name in this room right now? No. And some of them you've been seeing for years, but you still don't know their name. Okay, well, iftar is an opportunity. The Prophet said, eat together because the blessing is in the company. So come to iftar, meet somebody you don't know, eat some food you maybe never ate before, alhamdulillah, and it's good. Okay, so that's so much for that. So if you want to make you can go ahead. I'll go ahead with the announcements. Alhamdulillah, we always acknowledge birthdays. We have Dakari Throp. Is it Throp or Thorpe? Okay, I'm going to go with Pro. Tariq Shabazz and Warfadeen Taha, Glenda Najim and Medina. We got two Tahas on April birthdays. Allahu Akbar. Congratulations, Papa. So that's April 26th, April 30th. Alhamdulillah. All right, so we'll be seeking the new moon of Shawwal. Inshallah, we'll be attempted on the 1st. I think that's Sunday. So you can call the masjid after 9 p.m. to find out. We start and end the fast on the actual confirmed sightings. So, inshallah, if there is a confirmed sighting on Sunday night from other than that, but from the network that we are a part of, then, inshallah, let's take, like, Saturday. Like, if there's a sighting Saturday or the like, Saturday night, then inshallah, Eid will be on Sunday. But for us, the way that we started, the looking for, because we cited it, the starting of Shawwal is also, and or the end of Ramadan will be based on also sighting. So we're looking for a sighting, inshallah, on Sunday. Eid Sadaqah is $10 per person, including the non-fasting person for whom the head of the household is responsible, child and adult, and that has to be taken care of to purify for all imperfections in your fast has to be done before the Eid prayer. And the Eid prayer, I think we scheduled for like 10 o'clock when we do have it. So the Eid Sadaqah has to be paid before that. And then on the final iftar, so the Salahuddin family, Anwar Najia, these are all connected together. Anwar Najia, Pinky Najima, Bahiya, Ansar and Khalida, and Lamina and Masha. That's a crew that's doing their iftar tonight. And also youth and young adults is Saturday night. Yeah, the 30th, Saturday night. Remember the Hifaz game? Wonderful, perfect Eid gift. Get that as an Eid gift. Pass it on to those who are near and far. And also you can still be an underwriter for the celebration of Eid. Be among the 100 that gives 100, and in so doing, we assure our young people of a very memorable, wonderful Eid, inshallah. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm going to go. I'm going to go.